Blog Talk Radio. Good morning and welcome to All Things Holistic Radio Show. I am your host, Tiffany Rivera. It is Tuesday, and what a beautiful day it is here in San Diego, California. And I have a special guest. You know, we're going to talk about something that is such a buzzword. It's such a buzz veggie. Kale. We love kale. Why do we love kale? But we are going to learn why it's so yummy and why we do need to love kale, thanks to Mrs. Florence Quinn, a professional chef who has trained in the West and worked in the East. And I am so excited to have Miss Florence here. She is a savory food chef and clinical nutritionalist who's going to be talking to us about all things kale. Miss Florence, are you there? Good morning.
I am. Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm very good. Thank you. I think I have the same sunshine that you have up in Cardiff.
Isn't it great? And you're right next to the beach too. I'm a little more, I'm a little more mountainous inland, so I got some nice shadows starting me off. But it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So, trained in the West, worked in the East. Oh my gosh, I was reading your bio and I thought, please, I need to just hear from you. Tell us, original, where are you and what has brought you to want to talk about kale with me today? Where are you
that's
from?
That could take several shows. Well, I'm originally from Switzerland and I was born and raised there. Lived about 3 decades there, and then my job at the time brought me to Asia, to Singapore specifically, and I thought I was just going to, you know, go away for a couple of years and come back to my home country, and it's been 20 years almost, so in the meantime, wow. I met my American husband in Asia, and we've lived together in Asia for many, many years, and ended up in Cardiff by the Sea. That's a very long story, so I'll tell you the details.
We'll have to save that for another show, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we have very much enjoyed our living in Asia, and obviously I love Asian food, so for me that was always a big plus. I mean, basically, because that's my first time here, but I've been here for a couple of years and trying to get used to the new community and, you know, meeting new people and trying to figure out what to do when I grow up. So.
Yeah. Hey, I like this, trained in the West and worked in the East. Was it different? Because in my practice, too, I'm trained in Western and Eastern modalities. Is there a difference between being trained in the West with food and actually working with food in the East? Can you tell us a little bit about that and if there is a difference?
I guess that's a good question. I think I mentioned that in my bio because I did go to a professional cooking school in San Francisco and where they really teach you the basics of French cooking, which is still considered, you know, the basic one you want to learn when you start off because you learn all the techniques. And from there, I think you do want to, make your own style, become your own chef. So for me, obviously, I learned the techniques. I worked in restaurants there and got a great training. Already in San Francisco, my eyes were wide open because there are so many different kinds of cuisines there. But then obviously living in Asia, traveling in Asia, you know, learning from cooks in Asia that most of them not trained the same way that I was, but have this tradition of cooking that is very ancient and that has been, you know, passed on from grandmothers and whoever from generation to generation. So You know, I think combining the two, obviously, for me was great training altogether.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like it was really beneficial. And you're breaking in and out just a little bit there. So I'll make sure
okay.
to do tidbits of notes in case we're losing if our listeners aren't
okay.
able. And those of you that are just joining us, we are talking with Mrs. Florence Quinn, a savory chef who is going to be working and talking with us today about kale. So, kale. What's up with kale, Florence? Why is it such a buzz, at least in this Western culture right now? What's so big about kale?
What's so big about kale? Yeah, it's, you know, I was wondering that myself, actually, because it's been around for a long time. And in Italy, they've been using it for, you know, centuries. And I'm sure it's been around here in the U.S. as well, but maybe not as well used or, you know, sort of a bit undiscovered. It's a vegetable that's part of the cabbage family. So people are maybe more familiar with the cabbage itself or other related cousins like Brussels sprouts and cauliflowers and broccolis, which all of them, by the way, are very healthy and good for you as well. So kale maybe has a, you know, does have a few more vitamins. And, you know, I can list you all the good things that are in there, but I don't think people want to remember what vitamins and what, you know, what minerals are in there. I mean, there are a lot of really good things in kale, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It has been, you know, as we advance with medicine and especially with nutrition, people make more and more studies on, you know, what's good and what's not good for you, which changes every week, obviously. But
mm-hmm.
It has been said and, you know, somewhat proven that kale specifically is very good to fight cancer. So obviously it's not the only thing that's going to help you cure that disease, but, you know, like anything, if you put the good food in your body, it's going to have an effect later on. So
yes. Kale, I would like to get some of those vitamins and nutrients. I'll put it in the hay columns on the web because isn't there, and I have learned along the way, I'm learning to food combine for nutrient and proper nutrient absorption. So is
mm-hmm.
there something about kale, and I please correct me if I'm incorrect, is kale, can it block certain things, or if you cook kale and or eat it raw, does it give different phytonutrients or release different things? Can you share about that?
Well, what the little I know about that is that if you, most of the green vegetables like that, leafy greens, if you cook them too much, they definitely are going to lose a lot of nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the key there is always to, it's okay to cook them, but very lightly and very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, for example, if you want to blanch any vegetable, really, the best is to have a very big pot of boiling water, and I mean really big, because the more water you have, even if you have a small amount of vegetables, the quicker it's going to cook. And then you just cook it for 2 or 3 minutes, and you can eat it right away. Or if you don't, if you want to use it later in a dish, then you put it in an ice bath, which is basically a bowl with ice cubes and water.
Mm.
And put your kale or vegetables in there, and it stops the cooking process right away. So if you don't do that, it's just going to continue cooking. So then you can use it later in a salad or in you know, in other dishes. So that's valid for any vegetables.
I did not know that.
And there are some enzymes that can be destroyed in cooking, and there's still a lot of talks about whether that's true or not. But I believe some of them are destroyed by cooking, so that's why mm-hmm. the proponent of the raw food movement say it's better to eat everything raw. Don't quite agree with all of that, but so I like some of my food raw and I like some of my food cooked. So when you cook food, you digest it better too in general. So, but it is, you know, I think it is a pretty complicated matter. I would say that it's always good to eat some vegetables raw and some vegetables cooked, and then
mm-hmm.
you know, depending on what it is, as long as you apply the proper cooking techniques, I think you should be okay.
Mm-hmm. So regarding kale, they are getting really, shall we say, creative with some recipes. I saw kale chips the other day, and I got all excited. But then when I read what to do, I was like, do I really want to smother it in oil and stick it in the oven? What do you think about these little things of taking something like kale and then doing things like frying it or baking it? And does it change? Is it still the same nutrients? Am I still getting yummy kale slathered in olive oil and doused in salt in the oven? Yum.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, yes, I mean, if you cook it for a long time in the oven, it is going to lose a little more nutrients again. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, olive oil, again, is good for you in reasonable quantities. So, and the same with salt, you know, a little bit of salt is not going to kill you. But, of course, if people who eat a lot of other junk food, then they already have way too much salt in their diet. So that's not advisable. So in general, if you do, you know, if you cook everything yourself, adding a little salt is not bad. It's actually good to bring out the flavors, but kale chips are great. I mean, I think they're very tasty, and nowadays you can actually buy them, right? And they're very expensive, so trying to make them yourself, I think, is a good idea if you do like them. It's a great snack, and at the end of the day, I think even if you do lose a little more nutrients doing it that way, and yes, you do add a little fat, but if you're going to get somebody who doesn't normally would eat a green vegetable, maybe kids, you know, but they would eat chips. You know, having them eat kale chips, instead, maybe a very good substitute. So, why not? You know, instead of potato chips.
That's what I say too. I've been actually looking forward to trying it, but I was just thinking about today and all about kale. I thought, wow, there's so many different ways, and it seems like the food FDA really wants us to take hold of kale and so many leafy greens. Maybe more people are catching on to the importance of the leafy greens like kale, and that's why it's getting so popular, you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And again, it's not just kale. And again, kale is getting a lot of attention, but if you look at all the other wonderful leafy greens, and I think the best is go to a farmer's market and see what's in season, because kale is typically a winter vegetable, so you're going to have a lot more of it in the winter, in the colder months. Mm-hmm. So when you don't have kale, what else do you fall back to? I mean, there's other things, like obviously the spinach has always been there, and that's still a very good vegetable. Chard, Swiss chard or rainbow chard is a beautiful vegetable, and you can eat the leaves and the stalks as well. We have, you know, if you think about beets, for example, I mean, I love beets, but a lot of people throw away the green part of the beets, you know. Usually you roast or you steam the beet itself, but the greens are actually very good too. So that's something you could use as well in your cooking. And, you know, there's plenty more, but these are some of the, I would say, obvious ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Before I ask you a couple of the other questions about this, there is a caller online that might have a question about kale. Do you feel like taking a one-minute call from a caller, Florence?
Oh, sure.
Let me see. Yeah, hold on just a second. Let's see. Good morning. Welcome to the All Things Holistic Radio Show. It seems like we have a question for you. What is your name?
Good morning. My name is Rita.
Hi, Rita. How are you today?
I am excellent.
Yay. And do you have a question about kale or anything for Florence today?
You know, I take a morning walk every day, and I was just thinking to myself, I'm going to start, you know, juicing again. So I'm thinking about using kale in my juicer, and I used, like, radishes and beets before, but it clogged it up, so I have to buy a new one. But I'm just wondering, what would kind of mellow out the flavor?
Rita, that's a great question. Florence, tell us about juicing with kale. Thank you, Rita, for the call.
Hi, Rita. Yeah, juicy. So I think she mentioned she had a juicer, not a blender, right? But
yeah.
Okay. Because I do make smoothies. I don't have a juicer myself, but I think kale, because if you wanted to mellow out the flavor, the issue with kale, it can be a little bitter depending on the kind of kale. Some are more or less bitter. So yeah, trying to add something that to balance that out is always a good idea. So carrots would obviously be a good option, I think, because they're definitely sweeter.
to the kale, if she wants to add it, add something sweet like
so,
a carrot. Okay.
Yeah. So you know, juice some carrots. To beets are also a little sweet, so beets would be great. Even I would choose the gold beets if they're available, because they're a little sweeter. let's see. And that's something I guess you could add later, but when I make my smoothies with kale, I usually add some coconut water. So that obviously mellows out the flavor, and it's really nice. So that could be something that she could add to the
Does that seem
later.
To help, Rita?
It
does. That answer
anything? She mentioned coconut water, and I really didn't. I don't know if maybe it was just the brand I bought. So I usually try to use, like, almond milk.
Coconut water would be nice, yeah.
Oh, that would add some to it. Well, I hope that happens. Thank you so much for calling in, Rita. Anything else you want to ask her real quick?
Yeah, blessings and peace to both of you.
Thank you, Rita. Same to
Thank you.
You. Have
very
a
much.
Wonderful day. All right, juicing. I started adding kale to the juicer, Florence, and I love it. Kale's the greens, adding a little ginger, some lemon. It just kind of, it's sweet, tart, but really cleansing, you know? And that was great. I'm so happy that Rita called in with what is some of the myths, or if there are any, about kale, whether nutritionally, cooking, or juicing with kale, that we might need to be aware of?
I guess there's a few things that are important to remember. So like I said earlier, kale can be quite bitter, and it's also a little tough. Again, depending, there's so many kinds of kale. If you were to Google kale, you'd find probably 10 different types of kale. So some are sweeter, or not sweeter, but less bitter than others, and less tough than others. But in general, if you want to use kale in its raw state, like in a salad, and I'm going to direct you to my website where I posted a creamy kale salad with a sunflower seed and herb pesto. So obviously I use the kale raw in this recipe. So what I normally do, and I think you're going to love that, Tiffany, I take my kale leaves, obviously I wash them first, and then I massage them. So what that's going to do, so you take a little bit of olive oil and a little bit of lemon juice, and you gently massage your kale leaves. And what that's going to do, it's basically going to take some of the bitterness out. I know it sounds crazy, but it does. And
oh,
it's going to make it
and
it's going to make it softer, too. Like, you know, like you make yourself softer, Tiffany, when you come to you for a massage. So massage, give your kale a good massage. That's my first.
Interesting.
So when you use it raw, obviously don't go through that effort. I mean, not that it's a huge effort, but, and give it a good, you know, it could be a deep tissue massage and a good strong one. It doesn't have to be one of these lengthy Swedish ones, you know, which would take forever anyway. So do it quickly. It doesn't take a lot of time, but just do that. Olive oil, lemon juice, massage it well. And then you are ready to include it in your salad. And then I would cut it really small also, like shred it really, really small. And and that pesto that I make, it's creamy because I add some soft tofu in it. So I don't add any cream or anything too heavy. But it does give that nice creaminess, and I add sunflowers and a lot of herbs. So you end up with really nice sort of creamy texture that's going to coat all the leaves, and it's wonderful.
That sounds delicious. And, oh, my goodness, you're breaking in and out. Can I get that recipe, and we'll put it on the web for those who might have missed a little bit from you? Hearing, and then you go out a little bit. And that website, by the way, is www.aboutfood.biz, aboutfood.biz. She has a beautiful website, cooking classes, all the different things. And if she's willing to share that recipe with us, we'll be sure to get that up on the blog site of holistichands.org after today's show. That sounds so yummy, Florence.
Yeah.
That sounds really yummy. So talking about cooking classes, are you doing more classes? Tell us about that. Are you ready to do YouTube so the rest of the country and the world can be in on your classes? Are you ready?
I am ready. I'm just trying to figure out, you know, how I'm going to, you know, where I'm going to teach and what exactly I'm going to do. But I have been teaching here in Cardiff, and I do a lot of different food, but I do a lot of Asian because that's almost my first love. But I do a lot of Thai and Vietnamese, and most people are very attracted to these cuisines because they are, you know, they sound exotic, but not only that, they are delicious and healthy and just yummy. So these are usually very popular, but I do a lot of other types of classes, including chocolate, which I believe is also helps. Again.
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate?
Did you say chocolate?
Yeah.
All right.
Chocolate,
dark,
yeah.
Or milk?
Thin.
What are we talking about?
Oh, dark, of course, yeah.
nice.
So I do teach chocolate classes as well as a lot of other different classes. Yeah, I do teach here in Cardiff. I also sometimes go to people's home if they want to have a party, whether they want it in the form of a cooking class where all their guests can participate, or I also cater for small parties or bigger parties. Like this Saturday, I'm doing a 60-people finger food party. So. Trying to build connections this way, like, as you know, when you're new, you have to sort of feel the market and see what works. And right now, I'm sort of diving into a few different things. So, it's all good. It's all exciting.
Yes, it is. And, you know, for a community to move into, Cardiff and by the sea is a beautiful place. And you're right in there, so healthy-minded, and people are just loving it. And the cuisine and everything you're offering sounds great. And it's just right up the alley. You're just flowing right into it. San Diego is blessed to have a new member of the hometown, let me tell you. We need more chefs like you in town. And, Florence, when we're... Yes, and talking about women and health and food, what would you say, I mean, just do you have three top veggies that you, any woman over 40, what should a woman get used to and love, learn to love a woman in their 40s? Is there something out there like that?
You know, that's a good question. I never thought of it this way. I'm going to forget about women over 40 just because, well, I guess I'm part of them anyway, so I'm just going to tell you
what are you eating, Florence?
What am I eating? Yeah, other than chocolate, yeah. No, because I do, you know, that's the one thing I always say. I eat two pieces of dark chocolate every day, and I think that's what's keeping me healthy and happy, because dark chocolate is good for you, and if you just have one piece after your meal, it's going to make you very satisfied, and you don't really need more than that. So, but I know a lot of people can't stop after that one piece. But anyway,
there you go. That's a whole other show, too.
Yeah, that's a whole other show.
Can you stop at one?
Yeah, I'm all into mindful eating and all that, so that could be another show we can talk about. You asked me about vegetables, not chocolate. Sorry. I teach vegetables. You know, for me, I have to say, it really depends on the season because we're so lucky here in San Diego to have wonderful farmers markets. And not only that, we have this beautiful weather that allows us to have a lot of, you know, a big variety of vegetables all year round. But obviously that changes, you know, according to season. So I love, you know, tomatoes in the summer, but I would never buy a tomato. Not even now. I don't think they're ready yet, although we start seeing them in the market. But to me, a tomato has to be perfectly ripe in July and August, and that's when I'm going to eat it with, you know, with a little bit of olive oil and balsamic vinegar, some basil on a piece of bread, and it's just wonderful. You know, that would be the best sandwich for me with maybe a little bit of mozzarella on top. So, you know, but again, that for me only lasts about 2 to 3 months. I would never buy a tomato in the supermarket. You know, that's me. As far as other vegetables that maybe have a bit of a longer shelf life, I always have a lot of greens in my fridge. So it could be, you know, it doesn't have to be kale. It could be chard, or it could be just some wonderful mix greens for salad. So I eat a lot of salads. I eat salads every day. So I definitely would have, you know, a lot of greens in my fridge. Beets, I guess beets would be another one. You can almost find them all year round nowadays. So I very often have beets in my house. And as soon as I get back from the farmer's market, I roast them usually. They don't even make it to the fridge. So I just roast them. I buy a whole bunch. So I roast them all, and then I have them for the week to toss them in salads or you know, use them in appetizers or other forms. So I don't know what else.
Yeah, I really like what you said about vegetables. All vegetables are good, but seasonal. That we eat tomatoes when they're in season or should be in season. And I think, like, especially in the fall, I crave more roots. I crave more of the squashes and the warming root foods, you know. And I think women, I think all people are also seasonal, you know, that we should listen to our bodies. And I think the foods that come into season at the right time are just right for our body. Does that make sense? Is that true, you think?
Absolutely. I think it's not just the food, but it's the way you feel. And yeah, I think it's great to anticipate to what's coming, you know. Like you said, you look forward to your root vegetables in the fall, and I do too. And I was talking about my tomatoes earlier, and I can't wait for that first tomatoes. I planted some myself too, but I'm watching them every day. But I can't wait that I'm going to have to wait another month or so.
That's really neat. I'm starting to do a garden with the kids, and it's so fun. They're just every day we go out there. Anything new? No, keep watering. Okay, anything, you know, it's just we wait, and they're going to be so delicious. I can't wait. And more people are getting into their home gardening and their herb gardens. We're seeing it. It's becoming more popular, and that is, it's really true. I think seasonal eating for women or in general is a good key place. I really appreciate hearing that because it's really true.
And, you know, talking about gardening, I don't think we talked about it earlier, but kale, you know, one of the reasons kale is so popular too is because it is very easy to grow as well. If you know, if you have your own garden, it's a very sturdy vegetable, so it is actually very easy to grow. And because of that, it's also very readily available in most of your, you know, supermarkets and farmers markets. So, so if you want to start gardening, try kale and chard as well. Swiss chard is very easy to grow for another green. And all salad, you know, all salad greens are pretty easy in general. So,
Excellent.
Most of them are winter vegetables, though. So maybe a little late for now, but
And you can find more information at her website, aboutfood.biz. She'll start having cooking classes. She's getting settled. She's ready to teach. She's doing some goodies. And I encourage all listeners that are on today to give her a call, send her an email, get in contact, ask questions. And we thank the caller that came on today. Florence, will you come back and talk about something you want to talk about next time? I appreciate
it. Absolutely, Fanny. That was a lot of fun, yeah.
Oh,
thanks.
I had a blast.
Me.
You're very good. And we had a little blips, and I'm sorry that we missed some of your info. I'll put it all on the website, holistichands.org. And I say goodbye and say thank you for joining our show today, Holistic Hands, or All Things Holistic Radio Show. Have a great day, Florence, and thanks for listening.
Thank you. You too.